For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SEC. And now it is time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. So without any further ado, sir, you may fire when ready.
So obviously last night we had the NL wild card game, really, really exciting game all the way down to the end. Now most of us being Braves fans and everything aren't as familiar with the AL and their wild card game between the Rays and the Athletics. Which way are you leaning for tonight?
I think I would probably just go a little bit towards Oakland, but again, it's one game in baseball. Who knows? It's going to come down to whichever team has that one or two. As you said, there was that sawed-off little bloop single right before Soto's big hit. You know, which team gets a little bit tighter, and you know, which team just does a better job of cashing in. But I would lean Oakland here. So kind of like Washington broke through and advanced, maybe Oakland does that tonight. Right. But I think it'll be a really good game. These are two very good teams. And that's the thing. Sometimes you might see in sports, like in football, you'll see sometimes a wild card coming there at 9-7.
Right.
But you're talking about with the two teams last night, you know, Washington and Milwaukee, both very good. And you're talking, what 96 and 98 wins tonight? I might be one off on one of those for the Rays and A's. I mean, those are tremendous, tremendous teams.
A's had 97. Rays had 96.
All right, so 96 and 97 for the wild card.
Yeah.
That's going to win the division.
Right, because all three of the division winners had 100-plus wins this season.
Which, that's never happened.
Right, that's incredible.
So, that wins the division, you know, at least 50% of the time.
Right.
At least. So, I think it'll be a really good game, but I'll lean Oakland tonight.
Okay. Now, whoever wins this game has Houston waiting Astros for him at the end of the week. So it's just similar to the situation of taking on the Dodgers. You just look at two teams that have consistently been there over the past couple of years. And, you know, and obviously weird things can happen in the playoffs. And teams can get hot and, you know, pitchers can have bad outings and everything. But it's kind of one of those, until you see it happen, you definitely got to go with the Dodgers and the Astros on either side.
Yeah, I think so. And you just look, I mean, to me, what's so impressive about Houston is you think back 2 years ago, they beat the Red Sox and the ALDS. They beat the Yankees in a really good seven-game series in the ALCS, and then they beat the Dodgers in the World Series.
It's about as blue blood as it gets.
Yeah, Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, right?
Right.
And then, you know, you think last year, Boston goes through the Yankees, Boston goes through the Astros, and Boston goes through the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, if the Dodgers are waiting there again, you know, could the Astros or Yankees make a similar type run? Now, obviously, in that first round, the Twins have been very good, and they've had a great year. And in the A's, you know, they don't have quite the panache of the Red Sox, and certainly not the Rays. But when you're looking at these three teams that throughout the year, I think you'd call super teams, in the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Yankees there, I mean, at max, only one of them can win it. There's no guarantee that one of them is going to win it.
Right.
The odds are, if I gave you those three teams versus now the rest of the, I guess what, the other six that are remaining now, I would take the big three.
Probably.
But, I mean, you never know. I'll let you, like the name I go to here in the 2010s is Cody Ross. When he got hot for the postseason, the Giants. Who in the world's Cody Ross? Well, the guy went out and had just an unbelievable postseason.
Yep.
And he helped slug the Giants to victory.
Yep.
And the playoffs are filled with guys like that. You know, is there that starting pitcher that in a 3 out of 5 series just goes out and deals twice?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to me, that's where the pressure – I mean, the one gamer, you know what you're getting into. But that 3 out of 5, especially if you're the favorite, and let's say Yankees, Dodgers, or Astros, you lose game one at home. Yep. I mean, you talk about the pressure really being on for game two.
Right. Well, and that's kind of a situation that the Braves are running in here. And obviously, Keuchel is the no-doubter going for that first game against the Cardinals tomorrow night. But he's also had his struggles this year. And when he struggled, it's been typically really, really bad. So if That's he goes true. Into that game and it's really bad, it's going to, you know, it could be 4 or 5 runs.
Because he had that awful outing with the Marlins.
Yeah.
And then after that was his next 5 or 6. I mean, he was as good as anybody.
Solid. Yeah. But those games where he has struggled, it's been pretty noticeable.
Which then also gets you to the point of okay, and that's why then you think, should the Braves have put Tehran on the roster just if something happens? What if he's struggling? I mean, do you get somebody up that early? Or what if a game goes, you know, 12, 13, 14 innings?
Well, I think Tehran's a similar case to Keuchel, only a little more extreme. Like, when he's good, he's good. Well, he's consistent. But when he's bad, he's really bad.
And his numbers this year, Brain pointed this out. He had 3 starts against the Marlins, and he shoved against them. Yep. So I don't believe the Marlins are in the playoffs. So.
No, they're not. But, hey, he gets an extra month to start on that opening day for 2020. That's right.
Something might get him there. But and I think that's why when you put a roster together, and I get it with a 5-game series, there's no need in going with that 5th starter unless you get rain. There's that 15-inning game. Do you remember the game? I guess, was it the Braves and Astros when either 16 or 18, maybe in 2004, 2005? I mean,
in the regular season?
No, in the playoffs.
I went to a Braves-Astros game in the regular season and went 17 innings in 08.
So, yeah, you never know. I mean, stuff like that, it can happen. But I think they were probably better off because they've got so many pieces. I mean, when you're talking about Riley's bat, Insigne's glove, I think Duvall's a guy who can run into one. And I think he had to take both shortstops. And, of course, the situation at catcher there where they've been platooning those guys.
Now, I don't know if Riley is on the postseason roster or not.
I think they may have taken
Rafael Ortega.
Yeah, we'll pull it up and check.
Yeah, Rafael Ortega got selected as the bench player over Austin Riley.
Boy, how about that? This guy's going to be rookie there. Then that book got around.
Yep.
I wouldn't give up on Austin Riley. But
no, not at all. First year.
Sure. I thought they might, just because of his bat, and he could play third if you needed a pinch run, I thought they might go with him.
Right.
But since football started, I've watched him very, very little. But he had kind of got to the point, talking about the book got around, he was swinging and missing a lot.
We knew when he came up that strikeouts were going to be his problem because he was a problem down in Gwinnett and everything, and that can be a little bit masked when you're hitting the home runs as frequently as it was when he first came up. But then when those home runs slowed down, it's like, well, now he's striking out like 3 out of every 5 at-bats, that kind of thing. It's like, now we've got an issue.
I mean, on the did they put Billy Hamilton on the roster?
Yes, they did.
See, that to me is a must because I go back to when the Red Sox beat the Yankees in 2004, Dave Roberts was just a sprinter, and the Yankees could not control him on the bases. So that's another area where the postseason is different. Guys are running everything out. You don't see teams steal as much, or certainly not as much as when I was coming up in the 80s when you had Vince Coleman and Ricky Henderson and Tim Raines. But the stolen base comes more into play, and again, this is one where – you're not playing the money ball 162 games. You're playing the, all right, we got to get this run right now. I mean, you might see you get a guy get a leadoff single in the first. You might see a team bunt now. You'd never see that in the regular season, just to try and get that one run, which I think is smart. I think getting that lead in the postseason is so big. But for a guy like Hamilton, he could make the difference for you. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about 7th or 8th inning, you go in there, you pinch run. He's a guy who can
– Yep.
You know, he can steal your bag. You get him in position where he can potentially score on a sac fly. So I like that. So what's your best guess? All right, so you got no Riley. So we know basically what the infield's going to be. I'm assuming Swanson's starting at short.
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, he's got the better glove, right?
Right.
I think you got to do that. I think at that point you got to err on the side of the glove unless it's a big-time bopper. So then are you guessing Acuna and Markakis on the corners and Inciarte in center field? Or do you think it could be a righty-lefty thing? Does Duvall maybe get the call, Acuna in center, and Markakis at the other corner?
Not like the first scenario a little bit better.
Inciarte's a heck of a center fielder.
Yeah.
I would do that too. I would have him in center field to start with. And then you got enough bats off the bench then.
Right. Yeah, let's see.
So this is fun. That's why you put these rosters together. And again, when the Braves were really swinging the bats the best, if somebody would have told you back in June, early July, that Riley wouldn't even be on the postseason roster. Like,
yeah.
Golly, you wouldn't have believed it.
Yep.
But that book gets around, and I'm telling you, with the technology now, there are so many. There's this program called TrackMan, like that all the colleges use, and it charts every pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the technology, what guys are hitting against what pitch at what point in the count. And you don't even really – I mean, for the computer programs do all the work too. You don't even have to go in and figure out the data for yourself.
Right.
So then you can sit there and like, oh, boy, this guy's saying – I'll tell you, yeah, 1-1 sliders, the guy's made contact, you know, less than 10% of the time, and he's hitting, you know, 0-50. I mean, you got these books out that it's tough.
Technology takes over.
I mean, it is tough. Now, you still obviously got to go out there and execute it, but when you got some of these overwhelming numbers, oh, yeah, when this guy's an 0-2 or 1-2, and you throw him a breaking pitch, you know, he's hitting 087.
There you go.
Boy, and it gets on you quick when you're young.
That's right. But, hey, he's still got time to grow.
Oh, no, he'll be a really good player.
Hopefully improve.
The thing is, though, you have to learn from that failure. And baseball is a game of failure.
Oh, yeah.
It is a game of failure.
Certainly is.
Mm-mm.
All right, moving on to the 5 at 5. So the state of California recently passed the bill about player images and likeness and being able to profit off them and everything, and that's kind of started a cycle of other states showing interest in it. Ohio and Florida are already talking about possibly proposing bills themselves within the next year. Where do you see this going, and what's the end result?
It's bad news is what it is, and I mean, we could do 10 hours on this show. I think just briefly, the big picture that you have to keep in mind is, does the NCAA come out and say, like, all right, well, if you do that, California schools, you're ineligible?
That's what they had originally proposed, that they were banned from the postseason.
And then California should say, okay, well, I dare you to do it. Then do you go fund your own league? The other part of this I think that is important to understand is, and I get it, there were people raising, oh, Johnny Manziel's not making a dime off his jersey sales. Okay, I'll grant you that. Now, I'll also say, for players who have had their jersey numbers sold, guys like Tim Tebow, Herschel Walker, Kevin Butler, Terry Hogue, if you live your life in the right way, and nobody's getting judgmental, but basically if you don't go out there and do anything stupid, you are going to have no problems the rest of your life. If you're an iconic college here, if people are buying your jersey, you're going to be set for life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you might not go out and make $10 million a year. You'll never have trouble finding a job. But the other part of this, this is where it can get dangerous, making laws for 1% of 1% of 1% of 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to take into account for this as well. There are so many athletes, and I'm just going to guess the number of athletes on scholarship now is around 250, something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're only going to pay, and this is just for endorsements, correct?
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically, but you know what road could that lead to? So, all right. So the left tackle and the quarterback at Big State University are getting X and X from big company.
Yep.
Okay. Now all of a sudden, again, you've got swimmers and track and field athletes and softball players and soccer players. You got Title IX coming into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
This is an extremely slippery slope. You also get into the deal of, these guys are getting paid. They're getting full ride scholarships, and everything is paid for.
Yep.
Everything. Now, I get it that the schools are making a lot of money, and, you know, kind of where you can get into it is, are the schools making money off the name on the front of the jersey or the name off the back? Well, the name off the back of the jersey can obviously help.
Yes.
The name on the front of the jersey there. I think Kevin Butler and I were talking about this the other day, and Kevin said, you know, what might be a good idea? And we basically did some easy math, and let's say you're doing a Jake Fromm jersey, or we'll just go, just to be safe, somebody who doesn't play for Georgia more, a Todd Gurley jersey. And let's say, what number was Gurley? 3?
Yep.
So let's say Howard Taylor at the UGA bookstore sells $100,000 worth of Todd Gurley jerseys, okay? And let's say his 3 years at Georgia, it costs the university between room and board, meals, everything, it costs $75,000 for him to go to school here, the cost of a scholarship here. Okay, that's 25 grand different. Percentage of that can be put into a trust for when the player leaves.
Yep.
I don't think that's that big a problem. But if we start getting to the point, because a lot of the problem, too, in some of the national media narrative is, like, oh, yeah, we all just pay those guys, pay those guys. What they see is just college football and major college basketball programs.
Yep.
They do not see the full body of a college athletics program. And again, if it does get to, oh, we're going to start paying these players. Okay, are you also going to pay every swimmer?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to pay the swimmer less than you pay the left tackle? Are you going to pay the starting quarterback more than the backup quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
The vigor that that could produce in the stands too.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're paying these guys. I just think it's a bad road. And I think it's such a bad road that it could potentially at some point lead to universities saying, you know what, no more athletic scholarships.
Yeah.
And you could full cycle back to, all right, well, we're going to still field a team. Just everybody who's enrolled at school, you can come out and try out. And maybe the cycle starts over. I think this is a horrible, horrible thing that California has done here. And now the dangerous part, this is where everybody, it's kind of like with conference expansion where it failed. Nobody just pumped the brakes and said, whoa, whoa, whoa here.
Yeah.
So now I think the last thing you want to do is paint like, well, we want to make sure the schools in our state get it. We want to make sure too, and we don't want to be left behind. Then that ups the ante. Everybody needs to just calm down on all this and let it play out. But I think that the main thing from this, in theory, this would affect a very, very small percentage of athletes. But it was a big mistake for the well-being of college athletics. And I just hope the slope doesn't get too slippery too soon.
Right.
Because it's worried me.
Yeah.
It has.
So we'll see what happens there. Moving on to more controversy in football, this one in the National Football League, obviously the big rule change coming into this year was the pass interference now being a reviewable penalty, and you know obviously it can be reviewed by it can be challenged by coaches until the last 2 minutes of each half. We've had a lot of these things challenged this year.
Low percentage of overturns,
and that's the thing. There's some theories going on out there that maybe the NFL's coaching officiating association is not overturning these things. Mm-hmm. So once the season's over, they can say, well, we only overturned 5% of these. We don't need this rule anymore. Is this rule still going to be there by 2020?
It could be, but I was watching in a bit of the Monday night game, they called an interference in the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, and I think maybe Pittsburgh was – I don't remember who's on offense, defense. It was a bad game.
Yeah,
but Mike Tomlin challenged, and let's just say Pittsburgh was on offense. They called an offensive interference, and literally the Steelers receiver did not push off.
Yeah.
He put his hand on his back for a second, but there was no extension. I mean, that's a type that you see, and to me that was one where – and I get it. It's probably hard to challenge an offensive interference, which what is blatant. But to me and to the guys in the booth, nobody thought it was an interference. But they did what you said. They stuck with that original call. I mean, I think you should still be able to do it because there are times, and I can remember a USC-Virginia Tech kickoff classic game back in D.C. back in like 2002, 2003, 2004, something like that. SC had a wide receiver going out, and Virginia Tech was called for pass interference. Well, you could see on the replay, not only was there no interference, the guy from Virginia Tech never touched him. The receiver from SC kind of tripped. He hit his foot on the turf, tripped over his own feet, and went down.
Yep.
That's what you got to have it for, which, again, gets me back to I think what we got to have in replay, because we got to get these calls right.
Yeah.
But some of the times when the game is stopped, some of the times when it's not, like at the end, and I know we're getting away from the pros here, like at the end of the Ole Miss-Cal game, you're not going to review that.
Right.
South Carolina-Alabama at the end of the half, you're not going to review that. So I think each coach ought to get, you say, three challenges, or even if you only say three challenges per half, and you can, and when you use it, you can use it for basically anything.
Yeah.
I say basically, yes, but you got to be smart with it.
We're not going to be like holding or something like that.
No. I mean, unless it was just, again, basically anything.
Yeah.
And if you get it right, you keep it. I mean, I think tennis's system is very good. If you get it wrong, and if you do it just for the heck of it, I'd have no problem with a 5-yard delay of game penalty.
Yeah, there you go.
Throwing it. But I think the challenge system is the way to go, because then that also would make it like, well, that was a – I mean, I go back to the first year it was put in, I think, was 06. We were playing UAB. We're up 10 to nothing. Say early second quarter, late first. We're on our own 20. We throw an out pattern. Would have been a 2-yard gain. Diving grab, was it caught or not? They sit there and look at the thing for like 6 minutes to determine whether it's second and 8 or second 10. At that point, I'm sure even Coach Rick would have said, look, we'll just give you the incomplete so we can get back going here.
Yeah.
But then you go into a situation, you know I was going to go with this. You got the biggest TV in the world at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yep. DeAndre Swift gets yanked down by his face mask. Well, that's not reviewable.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. That's
where they've gotten it wrong. Replay was put in so that the egregious error could be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think just the challenge system. And that's why I think baseball, for the most part, has gotten it right. And they've kind of gotten away from – football's biggest problem is what's reviewable and what's not.
Yeah.
That's been the big hang-up for.
Right. Like,
why is a face mask not reviewable?
Right.
And I get it, though, for pass interference. So there's sometimes it's obvious and they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I think on replay is you got to do that thing at real time too.
Yeah.
Because you could make a slow-mo. And again, like the Bama touchdown last year off the fumble. Fumble Alabama. Recovered Alabama. Touchdown Alabama. I mean, that thing in real time was bang, bang. In slow-mo, sure, it looks like it's obvious.
Yeah.
You got to play it both ways. There was a targeting call in a game a couple of weeks ago. It was a Kentucky-Florida game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible call.
Mm-hmm.
You go down into super slow-mo, the guy lowers his head. It's like, eh, maybe. But in real time, it wasn't one of those where you jump up and say, oh, I was targeting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the challenge system's the way to go.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I get it for the interference thing. You almost – I think the advice to coaches would be it's got to be blatant for you to throw it. Like,
yeah.
All right, they were holding the guy's arm down.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, I mean, apparently, to your point, if it's close, they ain't overturning it.
Right, right.
I mean, unless it's in the playoffs to determine, like, whether, Dallas or Detroit advances.
Right, yeah, we definitely ran into that one. All right, one more thing to close out the 5-5, and you seem to enjoy this game when we play it. Am I real?
Am I real?
We're going to go with bowl sponsors this time.
Quicken Lanes, baby. Quicken Lanes.
So I've got four sponsors that have actually sponsored a bowl game.
Are these new?
No. Well, okay, one of them is brand new for 2019.
Okay, for this season. Okay.
The other three have been in the past.
Okay.
And then these other four sponsors have never sponsored a bowl game.
So we got eight total?
Yes. And you got to tell me which
four. Four real, four fake?
Four real, four fake.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to run through them first. Then
I'll
you
tell
go
you
back
what. Listen,
through.
It's 5:30. Let's do
okay.
this when we come back.
All right.
Because this will be fun.
Good. Yes.
You're great at this,
I,
by
I
the way.
I enjoy this game.
No, and Emily always compliments you on a – and she's tough on the co-host, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we got the Young Bucks in here. But no, you do a great job. Brain would be very proud of you
Okay. Doing
this. Very good. So I'll tell you what, let's run into a timeout.
Okay.
Then we'll come back and play Am I a Real Bowl Game or Not?
Yes.
Created by young Tyler Head over there. He's our young champion. This here is Athens Sports Radio 960, The Ref.
Now it's time for another Southern Sports Center. The Georgia Bulldogs head on the road to face the Tennessee Volunteers Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts here on The Ref at 3 o'clock. The Dogs are currently a 25-point favorite on the road at Neyland Stadium. The Atlanta Braves get set to host game one of the NLDS tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. First pitch is at 5:02. The Washington Nationals won last night's wild card game over the Brewers. Tonight's AL wild card game between Tampa Bay and Oakland will be heard right here on The Ref starting at 8 o'clock. And former Georgia running back Nick Chubb named the AFC's Offensive Player of the Week after his 165-yard, three-touchdown performance in the Browns at the Ravens game this past Sunday. And this Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons head on the road to face the Houston Texans looking for their second win of the season. Get the top local and national sports stories every 20 minutes. Athens Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref.
Athens Technical College now offers the...
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.